we best have full disclosure here. This evening's podcast is something of a massive cock-up. Largely because I had a plan, and then I changed my plan. And that second plan was going rather well. And then the first plan started to come back together. So we decided that we'd do two podcasts. But then a couple of people can't turn up. One person is too frightened to come and talk. And someone's disappeared off the face of the planet. So, we've got what I think can only be described, they're top quality, but mixed bag. I think, are all of you happy with that, with that description?
Your mission tonight is to solve the mystery.
It's for several. So, although, as I say, massive quality mixed bag, and unfortunately, we've got a special guest representative from Gen Z. thank you. The fount of all evil at the fringe.
I'm the baddie in this story.
That's it. And I invited him along. I promised him he'd be meeting the great, the good, the talented, and quite frankly, the quite old, whose festivals he and those that like him are ruining. Now, again, full disclosure, he's my nephew.
That makes it 100 million times worse.
It probably does, actually.
It does, yeah.
This is familial abuse, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody round about.
We've all got creepy aunties somewhere.
Nobody's got an auntie as creepy as me. I'm more actively horrible than creepy, really, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah,
so, Jack, apart from being the focal point of my loathing and hatred for this podcast, Jack is you're a really talented musician. I remember
thank you very much.
Getting photos and everything from your dad, my cousin Phil. Catchphrase, how would you like to live in that wee house? Every car journey we ever went on, that was all he did, sat looking out the window, pointing at places and going, how would you like to live in that wee house? So, but you're a brilliant musician, and you're currently taking here at Space UK.
I am indeed, yeah.
Tell us more.
So I'm part of the Lister team, and we've done shows here. We have two theatres, and it's Haldane and Fleming. So there's some great shows there, of course, I've got to promote them. Night Owl shows always go down well, and they sell out fast. So
what does Night Owl do?
Night Owl are they're a massive company. They do lots of, you know, various musical shows. Well, not musical as such, but it's more like folk acts. They do Fleetwood Mac story, they do Amy Winehouse, they do, you know, through the Carole King and James Taylor story. Yeah, amazing shows. Of course, they're all a bunch of brilliantly talented musicians as well.
Jack, I've got one thing to say.
Go for it.
Never go into PR.
Oh God, man!
This is but thank you very much for coming along.
Oh yeah, it's my
to
pleasure.
Be
yeah.
the
face of evil.
The face of evil, yes. The very young, the very plump, the very unwrinkled and good-skinned, dark-haired face and hair of reason. We also have. I'm very excited you're here. Now, Naomi or Ada? Who's here?
Well, Naomi's here.
Oh, Naomi's here.
But,
right.
I mean, you could break Ada out if you want to. She's in the case over there.
Oh, what marvellous. So, I met Ada before I met Naomi.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Who, explain who Ada is?
So, Ada is my alter ego, or am I hers? She's a kind of what we imagine maybe a sort of nostalgic look at a variety style performer, but she's certainly not a hangover from the Victorian period. She's got Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So she's just a a fun dressed up.
And she does
nonsense.
Actual magic.
I'm actually in the magic circle, as is Ada Camp. Aidencamp and me both are in the magic circle.
Wow.
Isn't that they do know you're two completely different people and one of you is fictional.
Yes.
Does that not matter to the magic circle?
Apparently not. I've paid my subs, so apparently
you
not.
Have to pay twice.
Money talks.
You don't have
money
to pay twice.
Talks.
Not yet.
Now, well, I'll introduce the other guests, but I want you to think about this question. As a fellow, is it fellow? Another magician, are how much on a scale of 1 to 10, correct answer 10, solidarity are you feeling with Jerry Sadowitz at this moment?
As a magician, 10.
Ooh, as a person?
Quite a lot of solidarity, definitely, because I think he's very... I've seen him before, when I was working front of house, when he used to get the art theatre. I think he's, he's an extraordinary magician, extraordinarily creative, an amazing performer, and I think an acquired taste, but I think his audience knows what they're going for. I think his audience, other venues have found some of his audience problematic if, in the way that they present themselves, but I think he's an extraordinary performer and I don't think he says things lightly.
No.
But I find him very challenging to listen to.
Is that because of the accent?
Possibly the accent. but no, I think he's an excellent magician performer. But like anything else, like anyone else who's an established comedian that has been for a long time, he has his own audience and his acquired taste. But I totally feel some direction.
I often hear people kind of by way of...
He's shaking his hand here.
Well, by way of excuse for Jerry Sadowitz's act, they'll say, but he's a great musician, a great magician. And but it's almost like it's a redeeming feature. And
it's never a redeeming feature.
Close-up magic, especially close-up magic, is never a redeeming. It's something that you've got to think, I'm a close-up magician. But I'm also happy to wash dishes and look after your dog when you go on holiday. It was always not so cool over in this country, in America more so, and then it had this wonderful resurgence.
Yeah, I mean, what I love about him is he's very skilled and he's very creative. I've bought a couple of his magic tricks, and in fact, I saw him once when I went to the International Magic Shop in London. He was sat there, and I was thoroughly starstruck. But his tricks are just very clever and simple and audience focused, which is
wonderful. But it's the, I'm not going to rabbit on before, because ladies and gentlemen, we have a 5-star comic in our midst. Ladies and gentlemen. As Martha McBriar and all of our 5 stars are, as I believe the young people say, in the house.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us more, Martha.
Well, you'll not believe this. So there I was, minding my own business in the Dragonfly.
What is the Dragonfly, Martha?
Well, it's a fringe venue.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a fringe venue?
Reader? It's a French venue, and it's a most marvellous cocktail bar, and
she's
it has the loveliest, loveliest staff working
there.
She's got
to see that too.
I don't, because I'm going to say other things about other people
okay.
to balance.
All right, good, okay, sorry.
I'm very about the contrast.
No,
that was going to start to sound like a hostage situation.
Thank you. It's
quite scary. It's fine, he never touches me.
Yeah, thus far.
Carry on. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, anyway, there I was in the Dragonfly.
The Dragonfly.
Which is brilliant.
Cocktails.
And there were, I believe, quite literally a handful of audience. 5.
Yep.
Sank. Are you allowed to say French things anymore?
I don't know. We have to.
You can't say anything.
No,
you
have to say it with the accent.
Gen Z. No, but we have a representative of
okay.
Gen Z to tell us what we can say. Can we use French phrases?
Can I say sank?
That's a tricky one.
We need a ruling.
Yeah.
Have you got to phone some people?
Is
it
yeah.
a committee?
We're asking this is the
issue. All the pressure is put on me.
Yeah.
I know, it's really unfair. I'm really sorry.
Now you know how it feels.
I hate upsetting good looking people.
Oh, very good looking.
Oh, no.
Is it creepy for an auntie to say she's very good looking?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. But.
Actively
okay,
dangerous.
In my defence, I would say that his father in his day was also very good looking. That's the
and
how would you like to live in? He's also a brilliant musician, as was his granddad. Back to the Dragonfly, and it's wonderful cocktails, and it's
beautiful
five members of audience.
five members of audience, and then this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, five, you know, we'll meet as strangers, we'll leave as strangers that know each other's first names, it'll be fine. And then a bloody reviewer was in.
Did that make six, or was that included in the five?
See, that's what I can't remember. I think it might have been five plus
the reviewer.
Reviewer.
You're getting on for double numbers.
Five actual people.
Yeah, and a reviewer.
And a reviewer. And my heart, if I can use the word again, sank.
This time it's not in a French way.
Yeah.
You know,
very good.
She's a comedian,
that.
You know.
See, I got five stars. That kind of stuff. Anyway, so it's a show that I actually, and I've never said this really before about shows, but I like it very much. And it was amazing to get a smashing review. Unbelievable, actually. I couldn't stop crying for the best part of 3 hours.
Really?
I couldn't have told you what was wrong with me. God.
But it's
and Matt was saying, is it me? Is it me?
Now, talking of which, husband, partner, life, love, etc., etc.
Yes, yes.
And man approximately three times your size.
Oh, come on, it's a bit personal.
Your show's not bad either, is it?
I'm very pleased with it, actually. Yeah, I'm pleased. I just want to say to everyone, listen, I was on episode one, and I turned up with my fight face on, you know, getting into state, because I thought, right, this is it. This is the big one. Conflict's coming on the 6th of August. Don't show any pain. Nothing. And I sat here like, okay, when you speak to me, I'm going to tell you who I am, why I'm here. Now, I mean, I'm relaxed. It's good. It's been going well.
It was. We did on that first day.
You turn up on the wrong day.
Did I?
And I just say best auntie and worst auntie in the world, by the way.
You both extreme.
No,
yeah.
But it's Schrodinger's auntie in many ways. you turned up. You said, I'll be there on the 6th of August, and I realised logistically you couldn't do it. Then he said, I'll come on the Monday. I thought, great. And I said to you, great, I'll be able to just have a nice, chilled out Sunday. And then who turns up on the Sunday? A Copstick lookalike. And I'm thinking, fuck, I can't be two. And you said, oh, you know, that's how great. And then I even said to you, I was preparing for tomorrow, and I believe you said to me, well, what's tomorrow? And I said, it's Copstick Day, it's my world title. And then while you were there, and you know the rest, I saw a group of seven people from Birmingham, one of whom was buying a pint so slowly.
This
thought,
was just.
And I thought, I'm going for it.
It could have killed everything. Because they weren't being horrible.
No.
But it was like. He bought pints at the bar and then kind of brought them back one by one to the party. But Matt handled it so well. He got bought a pint as well.
I've got to tell you this, by the way. I've got to know, I'm friends with one of them on Facebook now, and the guy who I dubbed Derek, they're all family, and they said, oh, we're going to come to Birmingham Glee, we're next to Birmingham Glee, which is great. But there was a woman there, or one of the women said to me, there was a woman who was writing when you were on, and I thought she was stealing your jokes, and I was about to get up, and I was going to have a word to her, you know. And I was thinking, oh my God, that would have been amazing. I would have filmed
that. Oh, that would have been awesome.
But I just thought if it kicked off, could you imagine if she punched you and the review never came out, that'd be awful.
Yeah, but you're laughing, Matt. I know this is a... But one of the things we did on the first podcast that we did was... I'd been to Trevor Locke's show, which is called The Most Interesting Person in the Room. And it's like a masterclass in audience participation.
Wow.
And it's not really a show, it's an experience. Yes, I am an oldie. you choose the most interesting person in the room. But the sort of the night before, but what we did was everybody kind of pitched their shows, and Stephen here decided whose was the most, the show that he wanted to see most, and it was Matt. And a lot of people after the podcast went, my God, I really want to see Matt Price's show. It was Because in Mac sometimes, one minute you'll be cheery, cheery, funny, funny, then it'll be, oh, I don't know about that, I'm just no bloke, I'm just a young fat bloke from Cornwall.
Can I just say now, with generation, whatever it is,
Generation Z,
yeah. So I didn't realise I'm triggered, and I think I have the right to be triggered now.
Was it the accent, was it the terrible accent?
That is cultural appropriation. And my missus, if I did a Glaswegian accent that badly, this is only my second beer, by the way, we would probably be separated. You did actually say something, can you do my accent any good?
You just did.
Right.
Right, sorry, I will do it without the actor, but some.
No,
but that podcast, sometimes when Matt gets into a kind of, I've got something to say and I'm going to say it, it's awesome, it was incredible, wasn't it?
Big pitch.
Everyone just sat there and went,
that's how you do
and
it.
And I think everybody who was at the podcast that night went to see the show, but it is, it's fantastic. Tragically, all the fantastic at the Fringe is, well, I mean, it just seems to me this year that it is all turning just shit. I think it started with the, I've never been to a Fringe where anybody talked about aligning with our values, or it just seems so, they're trying to control it. Trying to control everything. That's because the
what's the values? This is what I would like to know. When people say something like that, that doesn't align with my values, I would say, let me see your mission statement and your, you know, let me see all these things that you and your policies, let me see all these values. So that's the first thing I would say. What are they, and how does what exactly does not align with that, because that's called facts.
Yes, right? Yes.
That's called facts, not feelings, facts. And feelings, for someone who, you know my background,
yep,
in helping the nation, feelings are not facts. You being offended is a fact, but you feeling offended by something, it does not make it factual, it makes it a real emotion, but it's not a fact. And I find this whole business so troubling and so upsetting, and I'm going to Amber Heard now.
Oh.
It's like, I haven't got a voice.
I think that's, it is one of the things she said, looking at, and as part, it seems the world's been very heavily divided up into groups, and all groups matter, all groups are created equal, blah blah blah, on paper. But the whole, I mean it's not just Gen Z, it's just, I don't know that it happens to be happening now, mm-hmm, that it's all, none of it is really about facts, it is all about feelings. And it was, you know, things like, and I know there was a lot of folk talking rubbish, but one of the things that was reported that the audience, you know, at Jerry's show, for example, they didn't feel safe.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, well,
what?
Does
that mean?
Exactly.
Over to you, Jack.
Was there something overhanging? Was there dodgy electrics? Was there people with rifles? What does that mean?
It means that Jerry Sadowitz was on the stage saying some words they didn't like, and as part of a magic trick, he got his cock out.
Right, well, over to me.
Yes.
I mean, I suppose in Gen Z, everyone is divided into different groups. Like, of course, between race, gender, and ethnicity. All these factors are encompassed, you know, within this generation. And I think everyone holds their own beliefs, and I think even more so now, it's more amplified by the fact that, you know, it's all focused within these points, you know. And I think society is now becoming this idea of, okay, this is where we're headed, this is cool, this is, I like this new idea, I want to try. And it's, again, it's back to the idea of feelings. You know, I think it's very feeling oriented. I think.
But what does a safe space mean?
Yeah, a safe space.
And feeling safe.
See, for me, I think feeling safe would be, well, a mental safe.
Yes.
But during a show, I know that it's a show. And it's a show for a reason. It's meant to be.
Well, shows are often provocative.
Yes,
entertainment.
And
that's,
do you
that's,
see
that's,
what I'm talking? That's exactly. can I say one thing as well, just to interject, because it's a good point, and at my age I forget things. What you said, safe space is a mental thing, it's a state of mind, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That does not make it a fact either.
Nope.
I don't feel
safe. Because your
safe
space is not my safe space.
It's a troubling feeling for you to have, and I accept that that is very real to you, and I would support you 100%. But it is not fact, and it is pertinent to you and many, many other things that are going on in your mind and in your well-being at that time.
It's
so it's very egocentric, that kind of feeling. It is not, do you know what I mean? It's not, we don't feel. Now, if somebody got up and said, I hate people with curly hair, I could understand that the curly haired in the audience would say, does he mean me? I don't like that.
Yeah.
But.
And I mean, it's one of the problems, one of the challenges, I think, is that once, you know, when I was considerably younger, it was what Jack was saying about there's so many divisions. Because when I was in my 20s, I found out, I was just hanging out with gay guys, that was all. I felt like a gay guy, did all the gay guy things apart from fucking other guys. I thought, I found my people.
Mm.
I feel exactly like them. Everything, I loved it. And then somebody said to me, oh, there's a thing called the Scottish Minorities Group, you should go down there. Because by that time I'd found out that there was something called a bisexual. And it was just a name for what I thought was. Because I just thought I was somebody who was maybe just ridiculously promiscuous and I liked to fuck everybody. But it was like, oh, there's a word for it. Mm. And I do admit, you know, now that everyone's got a flag, that there's a kind of a, oh, I've got a name. And I went down to the Scottish Minorities Group, which is the most terrifying place in the world. I met my first actual real lesbian. Scary people. But, and they didn't want bisexuals.
No.
Gay guys were okay with bisexuals. But as things kind of went on and went, that's fine. I can sort of be a kind of gay. And then I got a proper lesbian girlfriend. I thought, oh, practical lesbian now. And every other minute, it seems that now, with the Gen Z-y thing, and probably millennial, that it's all about dividing up. You know, while you're not, you know, you're different, you know, different kinds of lesbians, who eat this, bisexuals, intersection. That's the word, there wasn't even the word.
But there was the sentiment. I think it's about hierarchies of privilege and I think if people experience things in the real world that make them feel very visible in the wrong way, for example, or make them feel vulnerable, then...
Back to feelings.
Well, yeah, feelings. But that actual experience is people can be attacked on the street for who they are, who people think they are, based on what they're wearing and what they're representing. I mean, the thing about the cock-out, I mean, there is a magic trick. It sold out a couple of years ago, which is basically a sort of packing cock that you can use to appear a card on. Now, the whole premise of that is that a lot of guy magicians think, oh, this will be hilarious for table hopping in a restaurant because I'll disappear a card and then I'll undo my flies and then, wow, the card will be on my cock. Now, I can see that could be a quirky, hilarious thing to do, but as somebody who got flashed at a lot and wiped at a lot on tubes and trains and in the street in the past, I don't think I wouldn't freak out, but I wouldn't find it the most restful, amusing, hilarious, quirky experience to suddenly have a guy, I don't know, undo his flies while I'm eating dinner.
It's
the four of diamonds.
Have you seen that trick
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. No, not Jerry's trick. I
yeah,
that's
because it would be giving it away if I said.
Yeah.
But am I allowed to say it?
Or am I going to get done by the exposure committee of the Magic Circle?
I think you'd be a bit wrapped up in yourself.
I don't think Jerry would mind. He doesn't do that. But as an example, I thought that was an example of a really blinkered way of thinking. Where you can see someone goes, ah ha ha ha, cocks are hilarious, I am hilarious,
yep.
I will put up, but actually not thinking, maybe there are people who may not feel that this is the most entertaining thing in the room, and then you do that trick and then go, oh, what's made that awkward? Oh, it's you've made it awkward because I've flashed you a fake cock. And I just think it's, some of it's unnecessary, but I think the Jerry Sandwich thing is a different, because he's so known for what he does, that he hasn't sort of accidentally wandered into a controversial space. He's always been in a controversial space, and he's sort of now being rediscovered or not aligning with particular values. Mm. But I think he's an extraordinary case because he's always been this way.
Yeah, and plus the fact, and you know this because you have more than a passing acquaintance with the law, part of anything that you do, especially things like hate crime, racism, all that kind of thing, one of the things when they're prosecuting you, they look at intent, right? And somebody has to prove intent. So if somebody said, that is not my intention, I do not go out my way to do that, that's not, then that's what you have to accept, that is not what that's about, to be cruel, so cruel that you would make people feel distressed or not safe. But back to this, feeling things. And this is when I just lose my fucking mind. Meghan Markle, you're allowed to swear.
Fuck yes.
Could you not say anything anymore? Meghan Markle was saying on her Oprah interview, I grew up as an only child. And her sister, half-sister, step, whatever, is suing her. Because she said, that's a lie. You defamed me because I was your sister and you lived with me. So this is the legal argument. She believed, she felt like an only child because there was an age difference. She felt like an only child. She wasn't saying, I am. She wasn't saying that was a reality.
No.
She was saying, I felt. So if I go and kill somebody but feel like I didn't, is that all right?
Well,
is that okay? I'll go and murder 6 people right now, but.
But you felt like you hugged
like
them
really,
yeah. really hard.
I didn't feel like I did. I didn't feel like I murdered anybody. Is that all right?
I think if you're intentionally doing something, that's very different to unintentionally or casually doing something that casually excludes people
casual
you don't
murder.
Need to do. And yeah. that's one of the things, certainly I've thought about in Ada's show, is I don't want to say something that I don't necessarily mean and therefore alienate somebody for no reason. If I want to make a point, I will make that point. But I also don't want to casually microaggressions or discrimination.
Well, if you've previously been told that a word or a set of words will offend someone and then you go and say that, then you would have to say that in the knowledge that it was
going
to offend.
So
that would be intent.
It's a bit like in lockdown, if I was going to get arrested for going out, I didn't want to get arrested for going out to Tesco twice. I wanted to get arrested for being like out drunk on the street, screaming down the road. Like, you know, do something useful. So I think with a lot of this stuff, it's about conscious or unconscious intent.
But with
that's
somebody
exactly
like,
what I said.
But that with someone like Ada,
yes,
I mean she is self-evidently. Maybe I'm ruining everything now. A fabulous theatrical creation.
That's not ruining anything. That's marvelous.
Oh, good. Thank you. Well, she's a marvelous theatrical creation. So anything she says is Ada. Can we have a minor chat with Ada, because she has her opinions and they are not the opinions of Gen Z.
No, of course you can have a chat with Ada.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, because I know you've got a show to do.
I
this
do.
Evening.
I want to go and tit about in the assembly halls.
Yeah. But so I mean, what do you? I mean, you are a completely different generation again.
Yeah.
You're practically show business royalty.
That's very true. All of this is very true.
So how do you feel constrained by what we in the olden days used to call political correctness?
No, I think it's it's just about practice. It's getting things right, isn't it? You know, I stopped saying ladies and gentlemen, I don't say that anymore, and I use they a lot more than I did, and it's just practice. I'm just unlearning and relearning so I make people feel comfortable. And if I want to piss them off, then I shall piss them off directly and for reasons I know about. And I don't want to casually piss them off. I don't want to come to my show and think, feeling alienated for no good reason. If I want to alienate them, I really want to alienate them.
I alienate them. That's my art. Yes, so you don't want to... Yes, I see what you mean. You be a little bit careful, and then anything that you do, you can really own.
I think it's about making a decision about... Oh, I can't keep this up.
All right, fine.
I think it's about making a
decision... No, age is gone.
Sorry, she'll come back in a minute. I think it's about making a decision about what stories you tell. So, for example, for me, as a kind of white cisgendered woman, in my stories, doesn't matter what gender people are. It doesn't matter what hair... You know, I'm not telling a story so I can describe people. So, in a way... I don't describe them, and then because that's not the point of the story. If I need to describe them, but if it's an emotion or it's passing through person, I don't have to set everybody, thereby excluding people. I don't mean to. There's no point.
Don't you think that, again, I want Jack in on this, that very much encapsulates what the, I'm going to use a phrase that's young people, the woke generations, they're all about division. It's because everyone's so obsessed with identifying as something.
I think we
used to be a little bit Arthur, a little bit Martha, and who gave a fuck?
But it's about. Maybe it'll come back. But I was thinking. So I do quite a lot of comedy club for kids stuff.
Oh,
yes. Very, you know, now deliberately don't say mums and dads. I'd say, you know, who you're grown up to, who you're here with. And I remember as a child, I didn't have a dad, and if someone said, you know, what's your dad do, you'd make it up or just look embarrassed and not say anything. There's no need. I don't care what my mum or dad does. I'm asking for a bit of crowd work or whatever. So taking, you know, who you're here with, who are you grown ups,
yeah,
the fact you're grown ups are bringing, it does no harm.
No.
It also doesn't make any kid feel bad. And it could be very woke and terrible, or it could just be being generous and passing on through.
You were saying that people learn different words or say things in different ways. Historically, with comedians going back to the alternative comedy wave that came out in the early 80s, and they would stop telling jokes about, well, this fella and that fella, or these three people in the public, say, it was me and my mate, or me and my wife. So they would self-deprecate. They were talking about themselves at the centre of the joke, the story, and make fun of themselves. So they weren't offending some stranger out there or some group of people. They were putting themselves in the middle of the story.
It's a don't punch down thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't punch down unless you really have to, or that's your shtick.
Yeah.
But don't casually punch down or unconsciously punch down. And not mean to do anything. Then go, oh, I didn't realise. Well, to think a little bit more about what you're saying.
To go back to what you were saying there about the divisions, though, and how, was it in your day that nobody really gave
early, maybe it was just that, you know, growing up in Paisley and whatnot, I did not meet an actual... I didn't meet a black person until I was at university, and he was a guy from Nigeria with a scholarship to the law faculty. I had no idea that there were names for, and I think that's maybe Presbyterian Scotland, for gay guys. We just thought they were wonderful, like Bill Dewar the Coleman, who would come round amateur operatic society, we can go, oh my god, there's no a bit of Zhoosh left in Woolworths. And we just thought he was a lovely guy. There wasn't so much this naming everything. Uh-huh. You just go, that's him, that's me.
Can I throw in an anomaly? Well, a slightly anomaly.
Uh-oh.
I think the internet has a lot to maybe answer. I think because the internet is now... Well, you've seen Instagram, you can now put your pronouns. Of course, I've put my pronouns up as he, him. And in a way... So,
that was a Scottish joke.
Yeah, it totally is. So I suppose, yeah, with these labels now that are so amplified by social media, I think that is also amplifying this class divide, perhaps. And certainly in some other areas, you know. You know, where I grew up, you know, it was kind of a, you know, especially in my high school days, it was a very hyper-masculine environment, because it was, you know, the head teacher, it all stems down from the head teacher. The head teacher was into his rugby, very much into his rugby.
Was that an all-boys school?
It wasn't an all-boys school.
Okay.
So...
Well, not that posh.
Well, I'm just wondering how masculine the girls were.
Way up in Dalkeith. It was, well, I went to...
Nothing's posh in Dalkeith.
No, absolutely. Except the Cavalier. And, yeah, so it was this hyper-masculine environment, you know. You were either, you know, if you were in the rugby team, great. You were this orikmi kind of, you know, individual who did rugby. And, you know, you, as rugby is obviously a touch contact sport, you know, I think, you know, they kind of slag off the gay a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And I think with that, you know, in my school, it was very, well, it seemed to come from the head teacher. When the head teacher changed, the school changed, and I think as society was adapting, as social media was sort of coming out of this embryo stage, it was, you know, people could recognise their labels and were able to put them on their pages and define themselves as that label. I think this is perhaps where this whole idea of division comes in.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of division, I'm now going to have to leave.
But not before.
I'd like to say I'm not stumping. I've got to go and do a show.
Yeah, no, she's not stumping off.
I'm not.
But you're not going before you tell us where you're on, when you're on, and why we should come along.
Okay, Ada Camp, Too Little Too Soon.
Woo! Lovely flyer.
I watched the show title where you heard the title and went, ah, and then by the end you find out it has a very different meaning. So come and see the show to find out what the title means.
Are you showing your flyer to the microphone?
Yes. Look at this. You never know where these cameras are these days. It's on at 2:55 every day at the Stands Newtown Theatre Studio. It's 14 plus because I say the word clitoris, but there is no nudity or swears. I know, and I do talk about having pubic hair, which is probably the most shocking thing for Gen Z. So I think...
Can I tell you something very briefly?
Yes.
Which I learned from a show called Spanking the Monkey.
Okay.
And it is that the word clitoris, said it again, I know, but we're up late, means the man with the key.
Ooh.
The man with the key.
God,
there we go. Yes. Sorry, carry on.
No, it's fine. Endorsed, as you can see on the flyer, microphone by Sally Chocolate and Basil Brush, the golden combination. Storytelling, comedy, women, a bit queer, and a rather rocking magic trick, I like to think.
But do you get everybody's cock out?
I don't get anyone's cock out yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there is an imaginary squirrel in the show that
wow.
that has become somebody else for a photo with me and the imaginary squirrel the other day, which I thought was golden.
I think if the show is 14 plus, then you've got scope.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you know. I mean, you know, bring your imaginations.
We're only halfway through.
Yeah, yes, the fringe is, well, I'm not young, but middle-aged. All right, I'm going to fly to go into
Spain. Oh, and anybody you can recommend?
Yes. Oh, Joan Neary at the Stand. She just makes me giggle and giggle like a child. And apart from that, I've been hustling. I haven't seen anyone yet. I'm seeing someone. My wife's coming up in the last week, so we're going to see a load of theatre then. She recommends Kate, somebody and Stella Commit a Murder down at the Summer Hall Roundabout.
Ooh.
With Matthew Floyd-Jones, who's one of Frisky and Manish, did the music for. Apparently that is Kathy and Stella did them. Apparently that is brilliant.
Wonderful.
And a show down there called Casting, which apparently is also brilliant. But I've really just been doing spots and I haven't seen much, so sorry. But
that's
Kathy
right.
and Stella did a murder and Casting.
Wonderful.
Bye.
See you.
Nice
so
to meet you.
Yeah,
pleasure
to have you. Yeah,
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye, Ada. And bye. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Come and see my show.
There's lots of titting about.
You could win a golden chocolate egg. Good God.
That's very exciting.
That's very exciting. So that's one. Was that Ada Camp?
Worth a punt. On at the half price booth. Don't tell anyone.
You know, we won't tell anyone that it's on at the half price booth. I thought that was one of the things that he... Sheldon McCarthy had canned as part
of
the...
Yeah, I didn't even physically find it. I just think it's in the air.
Yes, it's there. We believe... If we believe it's there, we'll get half price tickets. Bye!
Oh,
now...
One of the great things about Edinburgh is that there are different zones where you get different feelings. And some people come to Edinburgh for the fringe and they only hang around the Grass Market or they're only in the Old Town or Bristol Square. And they'll see all their shows there because they know where to park there. and it's a familiar route in. So if they're going to Grassmarket, they'll park at, you know, Castle Gardens or whatever. And some people, for years, have never crossed Prince's Street, and they're always on.
It's
know,
a
bloody
nightmare now. Yeah. I mean, I could get back to Glasgow faster than if you're, say, up here, and you want to get down to the stand. I mean, unless you're prepared. Well, I mean, it's not that far, and you can walk. But if you wanted to behave like a proper old person, like me, and take a taxi or whatever, it's, which again, I think, is this part,
is
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but
yeah.
Is this part of a plan to cripple the proper fringe so that we're just left with the big four or the big eight or whatever they are now? And that's nice because the Fringe Society Limited will be able to control all of that.
I put the ease of going about down to the council. The Shoreditch Edinburgh Council has always been such.
But it's
and have who they like.
Yes.
And get all the big bucks from people that have got a big team and cancel who they like.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's good to end on a cheery note.
Yes.
And we're just going to dance. I'm going to hand out the jesters' hats with bells. We're going to dance round the press office here, singing with a hey no, hey no, and a hey no, hey no. But it's, I think it's a worrying fringe. I think it's a challenging fringe. I think we could be on the brink of the whole thing just turning to shit in a hideous clash, which I don't think even the Fringe Society Limited could have arranged, a hideous clash of the, you know, steel trap minded Gen Z, apart from my wonderful nephew Jack, and their myriad sensibilities and the power hungry, you know, powers that be, Fringe Society, coming together. So it's almost like a pincer movement from the top and from the new audience at the bottom, and any of us lot that escape alive should be jolly grateful. So Jack, is there anything here, given that you don't, or are you must be gigging, you must be doing something somewhere, no?
I'm too busy with the...
What about your dad? Is your dad gigging?
Not as far as I know. He's just in private corporate bits.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut that bit out.
That's what the money is.
Oh my God.
Well, private functions, I guess.
No private... My cousin of mine is doing... Oh my God, it's dreadful. I'm so glad to apologize for that. By myself personally, I'm very triggered by the term corporate event, and I'll be going off for some. I'm going off to find a safe space and some counselling now. But it's all right. What would you recommend? I'm going to give you until Martha and Matt have punted their shows. I'm going to give you that amount of time to think of something here, or anybody that you've seen. Have you seen anything?
Oh yeah, I have.
Great, right. That you would definitely recommend.
Of course.
Martha! As if we didn't know, because
five star
we read it in The Scotsman. where, when, I can tell you that you should go and see it because it's fucking brilliant. Anyway, where, when, why, how, and why should we see it?
Okay, the risk of triggering anyone, it's at the Dragonfly, which is an insect, and I'm sorry if anyone's phobic, but it's at the Dragonfly at 4:30 p.m. And I'm sorry anyone who is an AMist, but I'm a PMist, and it's 4:30 p.m.
PM can also stand for premenstrual, which I think a lot of
women suffer.
Only
if you've got tension after it.
I think the tension is understood. Carry on.
Anyway, and it's at the Dragonfly, and it's a show that may contain head lice. And it talks a lot about the 70s and being a bit Scottish. And it's very funny. People like it when they come. They think it's very funny and also moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you said earlier that there's a sad bit.
There is a sad bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But it has a very happy ending.
Superb.
5 stars to Scott. I couldn't put it to myself, actually. But is you're a difficult person to review because you're wonderful and I've known you for a long time. But this show is wonderful. It's everything that the Fringe are. I think it's a lot of things that the Fringe should be, as indeed is Matt's show, Where, When, How, Why, and before the Minack Theatre.
Or wherever it's going to be.
Yes,
it's at 15:25 at Voodoo Rooms, and it has aircon, which is good.
And it has a bar.
And they're really nice people, and it's a great performance space, and it's a great place to have a drink, and there's so much history there as well.
Yeah,
so
what about the show, Matt? Bloody brilliant.
The show itself is it's a lot of fun to do. It's a personal story, but it's mixed with sort of interaction as well, because I like that. Because I don't want to be 2 beers in, be showing off or anything, but I'm a master of audience interaction.
He is an unbelievable master of it. A long, long time ago, when Michael McIntyre was playing tiny, tiny venues, I was the first person to give him a 5-star review. I remember he played Pleasance Below, and I don't want to mention the Pleasance because, you know, that might not align with their values.
Are we cancelling them?
But Pleasance Below, you come in and basically you've got to walk across the stage to get into the audience. And the night I went to see him, people were deliberately waiting outside to go in late because it was so much fun the way Michael interacted with latecomers, and it was like he kind of made them feel like the star of the show. I felt very much like I was in the presence of a very large Cornish Michael McIntyre when you played. You had fun with those.
I've realised I can mix the two, so it does make it fun. So you can do an Edinburgh show, but you can also have a laugh with it as well, and it's slightly different every day. And you know, you're like a singer singing an album.
Yeah.
I don't know much about music, but you know, something you can do a cappella.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's thrash, depending on who you have in the audience. So the core story is the same. The audience, I said to you the other day, and I really meant it, you have the narrative, i.e. the story I'm telling, but you also have the narrative of the room. And I'm trying to meld the two together.
Mm.
Because that way you have the heroes in the room as well, who make it what it is. And it's not just cheerleader comparing up, because some guys give me a cheer if you watch boxing. I'd like things a bit classier than that. So I'm proud of it, I'm enjoying it, I think the audiences are enjoying it as well. And I will do a special that I'm extremely proud of, and I'm determined, because like I said, I've had 2 world title fights. One was on the Sunday when you were there, and I won, you know, I won on points, it was good. And then I go back home to Cornwall, and that's when it's, you know, serious. It won't be. It'll be a lot of fun.
Ooh,
I'll do it in front of people.
Are you putting your belts on the line?
Well, in many ways, because it'll be there forever. Well, forever. You know, it'll be somewhere.
Yeah.
Available. I want to do it privately.
That is one of the things about the whole interweb thing. That once it's there, once it's digital, once it's online, it's forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to create moments. This Fringe as well, so they can also, the audience can go away going, God, I think he actually did that for us today, as well as for myself. You know, it's like, so.
Cool. Now, have you decided what you want to recommend?
Yeah, I suppose I have. I mean, there's so many different options there. You know, there's shows I've seen in the past as well, actually. I don't know if you've heard about this one, maybe. His name is Lorenzo, and it was called, Take Control of Your Future.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was very Derren Brown style.
Uh-huh.
So a lot to do with it just blows your mind.
Okay,
you know,
that's good. I quite like shows that you go, well, I can't really describe it.
Lots of audience interaction, of course.
Because
basically you become part of that show because it's he's a magician, or, well, psychic magician, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel genuine, and it will completely blow your mind. And of course, I won't give any spoilers for
no.
that.
No. So where's he on?
He's on at one of the space venues, actually. He's on at the Mile. I'm not entirely sure if it's still running, so I might...
That's one of the other frustrating... I'm not going to get into that, but there's been a lot of short runs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to see things, check out Lorenzo on the space venues, and hopefully he hasn't gone. Matt and Martha, you're here for the duration.
Mm. Yes.
Excellent.
There's also that other show that I told you about, actually, the Panto Dames.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I have a sentimental story about that, actually. I met these two lads across the road there, actually,
uh-huh.
at the Festival Theatre. I used to do theatre ushering there. And they are now part of this show called On the Run, Dame Over. And it's over... Here, it's in our very own Lister venue, it's in Haldane.
It's a play, or it's a...
I suppose it's almost like panto. It's very panto style, so they both play panto dames, and they're very entertaining. They do lots of character switches as well. They put a lot of effort into it, I know that. They've worked hard, and their show's great, so... There.
Sounds slightly crazy. Sounds like something I'd like to see.
Can I recommend Darius Davies?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, just a very interesting show. On the surface, it's a sort of a legal argument with another comedian. So
I remember. Yes,
but it's not. It's better than that. It's classier than that, and also it's a lot more. He has the mind. I think I'm right in saying that he trained in law himself.
Mm.
So he has a kind of a very logical and legal mind, but you can see that it actually comes straight from the heart.
Okay, cool. Is there anyone you want to recommend, Martha? I know it's hard to put you on the spot.
Well, there's a guy called Matt Price,
uh-huh.
With Sugar Raging Bill.
No.
Raging Bill,
It's very funny.
What's that about?
There's a sad bit in it. It's about being Cornish and having a grandpa who was not all he appeared.
Right.
And a little bit of boxing.
And is there a sad bit?
There is a sad bit, very briefly.
Okay.
Is he a big hunk of a man?
Again, a happy ending.
That's good. Is the sad bit as sad as your sad bit?
No, is it fun? Nothing to sad as
okay,
that.
Okay, now, Stephen, just as before, is there anything, what have you seen that you'd recommend?
I've mostly been seeing people that are right here. I've seen Elaine, obviously.
Yeah. Would you recommend the people that are right here?
Absolutely. Absolutely, the people that are right here are phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
Elaine's show is phenomenal.
Yes. We were going to. We're going to have to finish now because I'm going off to get worried about Elaine because she seems to have disappeared.
We'll track her down. She'll be in an alleyway somewhere.
Playing
drunk.
But
before we go on, I should say my wife went to see Martha on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was phenomenal. And she's been humming the songs all week. There's music throughout Martha's show, and she said she was greeting,
mm-hmm.
She was roaring laughing, and they came out singing songs.
For fans of
the
Slosh.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
For fans of the Slosh, it is the show to see. So we've done the promotion of the shows, we've done that, that's great. So all we have to do is fight over that last Krispy Kreme donut. and just that, what, just one tiny word of wisdom. Do you think the whole Gen Z thing will sort itself out, Jack? I mean, what happens when Gen Z really grows up?
that's the million-dollar question, I guess. I'd love everyone to just get along. I think, you know, because in this fringe, I suppose there has been that sort of fractious feeling. It definitely hasn't felt the same. And, you know, moving forward, you know, I'm hopeful though. I think, you know, speaking for Gen Z, you know, eventually there's got to be some way that everyone just realizes, do you know what? Let's just get on. Let's just love each other as human human beings, you know, instead of worrying about labels, you know. You have a label, great, fine, you know. And I think, you know, once the world becomes a bit more transient, I think that's perhaps when Fringe will hopefully...
Well said, youngin.
Thank you.